and amen. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We have been thinking over the last number of Tuesday nights in our Bible study just of the theme, Christ at Prayer. And we're going just to have one final message on that subject, Christ at Prayer. And it is a very appropriate one to have just to finish off that little mini-series in our Bible study of Christ at Prayer. So it's Matthew chapter 14, and we'll break in at the chapter at verse 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, let us all read together and hear the word of the Lord. And Jesus went forth, and when Jesus went forth, he saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down in the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed, and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse 21. We know the Lord will indeed bless the public reading of his own precious and infallible word. Father, do bless now the reading of Scripture, the preaching of thy holy word, and fill me, thy servant, for service with thy Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Amen. John G. Butler is a favourite commentator of my own. I was the first, along with a few other men in this province, ever to have his entire volumes on the life of different individuals shipped from America to the province here. I got probably the cheapest version of them ever, because they were to be sent to us by airmail, and that would have cost an awful lot of money. For 6 of us, we had at least 6 people before they would ever send anything. But they didn't realize they were sending them to the United Kingdom, and they sent them by land mail, which was far cheaper. But we got the savings, and those books have been a blessing to me. I was able to purchase quite a number of those books over the years, and was able to give them out to some of our young ministers starting out in the ministry as a gift to them for their ministry. And I know that they were greatly blessed. But John G. Butler, in his book, Studies of the Saviour, Volume 6, he said concerning Christ these words, "Mealtime is prayer time. Mealtime is prayer time with Christ." Unquote. Meaning, of course, that Christ never had a meal publicly, and I would suggest privately in those houses, without first giving thanks for it. I don't believe for one moment that these little words, "he looked up to heaven and blessed," are without significance. There's nothing in Scripture. It's inspired, and Christ is setting an example. And there's not an occasion in Scripture that Christ, whenever he has food, or he's distributing food, or he's sitting down to a meal, but mealtime becomes prayer time. This is not the only incident in Scripture of Christ giving thanks or praying for food. It's just one of many that's found in Holy Scripture. In fact, there are at least four occasions that we could truthfully say that Christ gave public thanks for food and the blessing of that daily provision. You had the feeding of the 5,000, which we read together, and then you had the feeding of the 4,000. Again, Christ gave thanks, Christ blessed. And then you have the Passover meal. If you remember when the disciples were all gathered in the upper room, the Bible says that the Lord gave thanks and he broke the bread. And then you had the meal in the house of the 2 on the road to Emmaus, who we believe to be husband and wife. They were greatly discouraged, and the Lord went in. And in the breaking of bread and in the giving of thanks, Christ was made known unto those disciples. So mealtime for Christ was prayer time. Two words that the Lord uses in regard to those four occasions. And the word is thanks. He gave thanks. And the other word, we have it here in Matthew 14, is the word he blessed. These two words are used in connection with Christ at prayer. Thanks and the word blessed. Now, there's no contradiction, by the way, in the use of these two words. In fact, what I believe the Holy Spirit is doing, he's taking both words, because singularly they wouldn't convey to us exactly what Christ was doing, blessing and giving thanks. And we know that we often hear someone say, would you give thanks for the food? And there's other people would say, well, would you bless the food? And so on and so on. And there's no contradiction in that, by the way. And I remember one time, I think it was myself, and I had started to eat, and someone stopped and said to me, are you eating unblessed food? And it really spoke to me. It really did speak to me. I think I must have been starving on that occasion. It really spoke to me. Are you eating unblessed food? And I thought to myself, well, I know where you're coming from. And it was a gentle rebuke, and it was said in a very nice way, by the way. But there's no contradiction in the use of these two words in regard to Christ at prayer here. In other words, I believe it's giving us a better picture of what Christ was doing when he came to meal times. The word thanks, just the general meaning, that's all it has in Scripture. It means to be grateful. It means to give thanks for something that you have received, that has been given to you. You haven't provided it for yourself. It has been gifted to you. It has been given. And here, food was providentially provided in the five loaves and the two little fishes. And even that meager supply, before the Lord would feed the people, he stopped everyone and he gave thanks. And he blessed on this occasion. Now the word blessed, and I said to you, the two words are used on those four occasions of the Lord at prayer at a mealtime. The word blessed means to speak well of something or to speak well of someone. That's what that word means in the Greek. So if you take both words together, thanks, to be grateful, to give thanks for something you've received, and then to speak well of the one that has given that to you. And that's exactly what Christ was doing here. It wasn't just reciting a prayer. And we've often heard the little prayers that some children are taught to pray. And I know some do it in a joking way. We have the normal one where the little children in school are taught how to pray. And then there's other people, and jokingly they would say, is it bless the bunch that crunched the lunch? And so on and so on. But the Lord wasn't frivolous. The Lord was worshipping in that true sense as a true man, acknowledging this provision. Even though he was God, it was Christ in his human nature that he was giving thanks. You remember, it's Christ who is the creator. He actually created bread, and he created more bread. But remember, as I said before, Christ was a human being. And that's why the Muslims sometimes say, if he was God, why would he give thanks for something that he himself created and gives? And you hear the Muslim. I've watched some videos this past while of the Muslims challenging Christians on the deity of Christ, and Christians are unable to argue with a Muslim on the very deity of Christ. It's hard to believe. And they quote passages like this. If he's God, why would he give thanks? What is God to be thankful for? We are to give him thanks. And if he was God, then he wouldn't be giving himself thanks, and so on. But we know, as I said to you, he's God and man. The Muslim does not acknowledge the dual nature of the unique Savior and Redeemer, God's only begotten Son, who's truly human. He became dependent. He thirsted. He was hungry. He was provided for. The Bible says he had nowhere to lay his head. Even the foxes had holes. The birds had nests. But the Son of Man had nowhere to even lay his head. He was dependent on the Father as a true human being, an example. He's the second Adam, and all that we lost in Adam and all that Adam should have been is seen and restored in Christ. But the word thanks, the word blessed, means take both words together, and here's the picture. As the Spirit of God would have us see it, Christ is doing this. He was speaking well of the Father, who provided his daily bread. And he was expressing as well publicly his thankfulness or gratitude for that provision. So giving thanks, saying grace, asking God's blessing on things that we receive, giving thanks for mercies given and bestowed upon us is an honourable thing. It is literally speaking well of God. It's worshipping him and it's being grateful. In other words, it's an act of deep gratitude for his continual unfailing supply of our temporal and our daily provision. The psalmist said, in light of all this, it is a good thing then to give thanks unto the Lord. And you know, if you want to do something good, if you wake up in the morning and say, today, Lord, I would like to do something good. Well, here's something good. It's a good thing, a godly thing, godlike, to give thanks unto the Lord. And I want to say, thankfulness is a mark of a sincere walk with God, a humble dependence upon him for everything, no matter whether it's mealtime or whatever mercy you and I have received. The Lord expects us to show gratitude and to be thankful. And your life is literally a prayer of thanks and gratitude to the Savior, because we're debtors to God and grace for every single blessing. Now, as we look at this incident tonight at Christ at prayer, I want you to think, as he's giving thanks for food, just a little insignificant thing you would think, I want you to think first of all of his focus in giving thanks. You notice with me here in Matthew 14 and the verse 19. Look what it says, his focus in giving thanks. In Matthew 14 verse 19. And it says he commanded the multitude to sit on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave. You see it, looking up to heaven. I know that one man told me, as he was a lay preacher who became a minister eventually, he told me that I'm not sure whether it was himself or he was in the house, but someone was asked to give thanks for the food. And they give thanks all right, but they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and the soup had to be taken away and reheated. But that's not giving thanks. Looking up to heaven, that's impressing fellow man. And I'm sure you have been in places, and I'm sure I've been guilty of it as well. You go round the world. I've actually heard people pray, and I'm sure I'm as guilty as the rest, and there's been times in my own life I didn't even realize it. Someone said, would you give thanks for the food? And they did everything but actually thank the Lord for the food. They did everything. Lord, we thank you for all your goodness. No, they didn't even say that. They just started to really show themselves and all the theology, and maybe pray for sick and sorrowing, pray for the country, and they never give thanks for the food at all. And that's a fact. I've been in places where they actually never gave thanks, and in my own heart I just thanked the Lord myself. I'm not sure if you ever in a restaurant, or you're out in a cafe, or you're out for a meal, and there's a lot of people around you, and the tables now are closer, they're not like the COVID days, they're right beside you, you can literally touch, you could even steal some chips and some things off others' plates, which I don't recommend, by the way. But I wonder, do you stop to give thanks? You lift your heart to heaven and give thanks to the Lord. Here the Savior shows us the primary cause and source of every blessing we receive. It's from heaven above. It's from our loving Heavenly Father. And no wonder in the Lord's Prayer, or the disciples' prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, give us each day our daily bread. I know some people would say, well, I don't need to give thanks publicly, because I pray the Lord's Prayer every day. And it says there, give us each day our daily bread. And I say to them, well, that's not a prayer of thanks, that's asking. That's asking, give us. You're asking God to give you. But in this incident, it's giving God praise. It's giving God the honour. And so the focus of Christ giving thanks was heavenward. He lifted up his eyes. You couldn't have missed it that day when they put those 5 loaves and 2 fishes into his hand. You couldn't have missed it. He immediately looked up to heaven. And those disciples would have literally gazed up as well. And the Bible says he blessed. And that means he uttered words of thanks and praise for this little meager provision. It was nothing. Nothing, because there was nearly 9,000 or 10,000 people to be fed. Yet for that little supply that wasn't even sufficient to feed all those people, he worshipped, he blessed, and he gave thanks. God in heaven above is the source of every blessing. And therefore he should be acknowledged. We should be grateful to him. It was James who penned the words, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." The psalmist says, "The eyes of all wait upon thee. Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing." So God is the fountain from which every blessing flows. And therefore it is to him alone that all thanks and praise belongs. He is Jehovah Jireh. That is, the Lord shall see the need and the Lord shall provide for that need. He is the God who will supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is the one who is the Lord my shepherd, and I shall not want. Therefore, we should give thanks unto him. I wonder, did we spend time today? Even though you may have been a very busy person today. Maybe you had a lot of things on your plate and a lot of things to do, and then rushing out to the prayer meeting tonight. But I ask you the question, did we give thanks today? Did we stop? And even meal time, did it become a prayer time? Even sitting at the table with your family. Maybe you're out of the habit of that. Maybe it's just not the thing to be done in your home. I don't know. Maybe it was never done. Well, it should be. And I believe Christ on 4 occasions, publicly, for provision, for food. And John G. Butler is right when he summarized this and those other 4 times Christ prayed publicly for food. Meal time was prayer time, a time to worship, to acknowledge the provision of God, to give thanks from the depths of your heart for what he has put on the table, what he has gifted to us in this country. And we are blessed. Would you not thank him tonight for temporal blessings, for food and clothing, for warmth and shelter, a roof over your head, clothes on your back, food on your table? Would you not thank the Lord for the measure of health and strength you have? I was in the Ulster Hospital today, and I saw things that really disturbed me. Most of them were men, and they were very ill people. It was very hard to watch some of them. Some of them were still walking about. No doubt they've had surgery. They're walking about, they're doing things, and they had tubes everywhere. And I looked at them. I sat with John Ferguson today, and he was heavily sedated. And you could just see there's a man who has not the health he would desire. I wonder, do we thank the Lord for the health we have and the strength we have, the use of all our faculties, the several abilities God has bestowed upon each one of us. Mercy's seen, aye, more so, mercy's unseen. Now, what about the supply of every need that you and I have and the promise of a daily provision from God? Every need, the hymn writer penned. Every need is hand supplying. Every good in him I see. On his strength divine relying, he is all in all to me. What about thankfulness for spiritual blessings, civil and religious liberty, freedom to come down the carriageway? There's no police roadblock. There's no asking where you're going. No searching of the car for your Bible. No looking for a hymn book. No looking for someone well-dressed with a hat on or shirt and tie coming to the house of God. No blocking of the entrance into the church. No padlock up and chain upon the doors. No bulldozer to knock our building down. No restriction at present to preaching in the open air, going out to reach the children in the summer months and so on. Giving thanks for civil and religious liberty. What about your English Bible? Did you thank God today for the Word of God, for the Scriptures of truth? You see, the Lord was thankful for the smallest thing that he had in his hand. A few little scones. That's all they were, little bobs. And a couple of little fishes. That's all they were, tiny fish, maybe the size of sardines. We thank the Lord for his word. What about his so great salvation? Do we thank God for saving our souls? Now, I try this as a habit of a lifetime from I was saved. I try this to do this every single day of my life and never miss, to make sure that I give thanks to God every single day of my life. And I'm sure there are days I've missed, for his so great salvation, for saving me, loving me, dying on the cross for me. Now, if we forget Calvary, then there's nothing to live for. There's no motivation in life. You never get out to the prayer meeting, you never get to the services. If you neglect the cross and you feel somehow God's indebted to you, God must do this for you and God hasn't, so therefore I'm not doing anything for him. Should the Lord turn his back on me now, I'd have to worship him for eternity, for saving my soul. What about righteousness that cannot be tainted? What about a peace that cannot be disturbed? What about an inheritance that you and I have in heaven that's reserved for us, kept? And until then, we're kept by the power of God. We'll never be lost unto salvation, full salvation. What about eternal life, a life that will never end? A love that cannot be frustrated. It's not like human loves. What about a home in heaven? What about the joy and the blessings there are in the presence of the Lord? Now, we can never say that we have nothing to be thankful for. May the Lord give us tonight that thankful heart and soul, that we might worship him, give thanks to him, praise his name. And maybe tonight we could turn our prayer meeting over, although I do believe we still need to petition. Turn it over to a time of praise and just reflect upon what the Lord has done for you. And to make sure that we put it on record tonight in Cumberfree Church, and the Lord would write it down in heaven, that we're truly thankful and we're grateful for everything he has done. The focus of Christ giving thanks. I want you to think of the fearlessness of Christ giving thanks. Notice in verse 21 of this portion, the fearlessness of Christ. It says there, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children, possibly 9,000 or 10,000 people. Sometimes we're afraid to give thanks. Someone comes round to your house. Maybe you've invited someone for maybe supper or maybe dinner this week, and they're going to come round to your house and you have a supper provided, and there they are, they're coming in. They might be unsaved relatives or neighbours or work friends, but you've invited them round just for a bite of supper and for fellowship, whatever it is, and there you are, they've gathered in your house and you've worked hard, and then you put all the food out and you say, right, everybody, come on to the table, it's ready. There's quite a lot of people do not give thanks. It seems that they're afraid. They've got their unsaved neighbours in. They've got their unsaved family in. And it does seem that they're afraid. What would the unsaved think of you? What would they say about you? And some might even be ashamed. But not so Christ. Before nearly 10,000 people, he stopped. And he lifted up his eyes, looked to heaven, and he gave thanks and he blessed. And we see that he exercised the godly practice of publicly thanking the Lord. Christ was not ashamed to publicly acknowledge the goodness and grace of the Father in supplying that physical and temporal need. Meal times for Christ were opportunities for worship and to set the example and to honor God and to glorify God. Whether privately or publicly, we ought to give thanks to God for every blessing we've received. It's amazing, and it is amazing, how many believers never give thanks to God. And you say, well, my faith's private. I don't believe that for a moment. There's not anything private about a Christian. We're an open book. In fact, Paul tells us, and this is what he says, you're living epistles, known and read of all men. We're not a closed book. And I hear that so often, especially among us, we would call Anglicans. They say, well, I'm not like you. I don't witness. I don't tell people. I keep it to myself. There's no person, no born-again Christian, as a private believer, a secret believer, and lets nobody know that they're saved, that they're born again, that they belong to Christ. And one of those ways is our attitude to the blessings of God. You know, there's no crime committed, no offense meant by publicly giving thanks to God for food. And we should never be afraid to practice this godly action, even in a cafe, even in a restaurant. And I'm not saying that you should somehow raise your voice and shout. Can I tell you a true story? An American, Chuck Hebron. Has anybody heard of Chuck Hebron? The big, big, big man from Portadown, but originally from America. There's Norman giving. So he's about maybe 6'8", and a big, tall, coloured man. And he's massive, massive. And I think it was Harvey Shaw. And Harvey, when he first met him, went out for a meal, and they were in a restaurant. And he says to Chuck Hebron, "Brother, would you give thanks for the food?" And you know what he did? He stood up in the whole cafe. And he called them all to attention. He says, "Folks, I just want to give thanks for this food." And everybody stopped, looked at him. Nobody was going to stop him anyway, that's for sure. If I had got up that says that, boy, he's not all the size of him. But nobody's going to say anything. And he gave thanks. I don't think Harvey Shaw, I think his statement after it was, "I'll never ask him to give thanks again in a restaurant." So we're not thinking of those who call a restaurant to attention. Now, there's many a time we've been at the table giving thanks, and the waitress comes along and she has to wait. She maybe just hears, just not only, "Lord, we thank you for this provision, but above all, we thank thee for your so great salvation. And we're truly thankful for this token of your love and mercy. Bless it to us now." And even praying, "Lord, bless the hands that have prepared it and the hands that have served it, in Jesus' name." It's a tremendous testimony. Now, I know that we should never be ashamed. I remember the first time in my life that I was ever asked to give thanks at a meal time. It was in the Mays prison, and I was only saved. And I then joined a table of four believers. And one believer, he was really all out for the Lord, and I mean unashamedly for Christ. And he says to me, "Tom, give thanks for this food." And I went, in front of all these boys? And they says, "Oh yes, give thanks." And they all bowed their head. And I was still sitting with my head up thinking, "I can't do this." And he's me, "You mean out loud?" "Oh yes, absolutely, out loud." And I knew by that time everybody was going, "Oh, let's see this new believer, let's see." And I went, and a real voice that nobody heard me, I just went, "Sorry. And then I lifted my head and said, "Amen." And they were still bowed. And I went at the table, "That's it, man. All right, well done." And then the next meal time, well, believer, he prayed, and boys, the whole canteen heard him. And I thought, "Hope he doesn't ask me again." But then I got over that, and I felt, no, I'm not ashamed of the Lord. And I didn't shout like he did, but I certainly would have been heard at the table and those around me as well. Christ's focus, Christ's fearlessness, finally, Christ's faith in giving thanks. Christ's faith in giving thanks. Notice in verse 19, and we'll finish here. It says there, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And then he blessed. He looked up to heaven and blessed. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And then he gave thanks. Now you would imagine that it would have been the opposite. Take the loaves and fishes. Break them. See them multiply. And then give thanks at the great provision. No. This was an act of faith in many ways. Because remember, we're talking about Christ in the flesh. We're still thinking of Christ, the true human being. Even though he's deity and he exercised that deity and that power of God when he created bread from bread. He multiplied food and fed nearly 9,000 people out of a meager supply. So he did an act of creation. And the Muslim wouldn't see that, would they? They wouldn't see the fact that they say that if he was God, he wouldn't be giving thanks. But if he's God, he would multiply food, wouldn't he? And they've missed that one. In his hand, he created food. I guarantee you now, there's not even a magician in the world, although they mimic the miracle. They mimic, I've watched them doing it. They mimic the miracle of the loaves and fishes. It's trickery. And I went on to source how they actually did the trick and found it. I found out exactly how they do the trick. Exactly how they do it. But they couldn't create. They couldn't multiply it in the bare hand. There was no sleight of hand. There was no somebody pushing food through the sleeves of his garment. And then he was pretending like trickery. No. Christ produced and created that food. But I want to tell you, he gave thanks before the supply amounted to 9,000 people being fed. Now that's significant because that's faith. In other words, you'll notice that he didn't give thanks when the food was multiplied, but rather he gave thanks when he had but a meager provision. There's a humbling spiritual lesson in what Christ did here in giving thanks on this occasion. So easy to be thankful when we have plenty. So easy to be thankful when things are going well. Oh, it's so easy to be grateful when supplies are literally sent our way. And there's a multiplicity of those blessings coming our way, and the Lord is good. But when there's scant supplies, when the cupboards are bare, when things turn sour, and they're not going as well, and they're difficult, I tell you, the Lord would have us be thankful when you've only got a few loaves and a few fishes. And it was at that moment, with that supply, that Christ exercised in that sense as our example, faith in the provision of God, and exercised his divine power to create that food. But remember, he's an example we should follow as a true man. And therefore, it's better to give thanks for what we have than to complain about what we don't have. And I'm sure you will agree with me that the Lord will not bless us with more if we're not thankful for what we already have. Thankfulness when things are small and when times are tough brings greater glory to God. Because when God blesses and God supplies and you give thanks, I want to tell you, it brings glory to God, but greater glory is given when it's not there, when you don't have enough. Paul said, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and we will bring nothing out of it. Therefore, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. May we be thankful tonight for everything God has done for us as an individual and as a congregation. And we have been blessed with a goodly heritage here in Cumber. And let's be grateful and thankful and make sure that when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ at the Bema, the judgment seat, that we'll not be called for ingratitude and we'll not be called out for an unthankful spirit, but we'll be praised because we were a congregation who thanked the Lord for everything. Christ at prayer. Mealtime is prayer time. Amen. You know the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. Thank our internet listeners too for joining with us. We part with you at this stage and wish you God's richest blessing. Just for prayer, do you remember?